I do know Mark Lally, know a bit about, again, Lally, I don't know anything about, no.
And the Village are the All-Ireland champions, 19 points to 14. Who said they couldn't win it?
You're very welcome along to this week's episode of the James Stevens Podcast. This week, we preview the under-21 county semi-final as Thomastown come to Larchfield this Saturday. We speak to manager Paddy Butler. Also on the way, on the weekend of the Leinster Club hurling final, we delve into the archives to look back on an epic 2005 Leinster final where James Stevens faced UCD. And later in the programme, we take a trip back to 2008 to reminisce on James Stevens' failure victory with team manager Eamon Turrell. But we begin with Saturday's under-21 county semi-final. And the task this week for the James Stevens men is a date with Thomastown in Larchfield at 1:30. We'll hear from Paddy Butler shortly, but let's take a brief look back on the Village's victory over Greig Ballycallan in the quarter-final. That finished 4-11 to 1-14 on the day in Tom Ryle Park, and a great goal by Stephen Minogue helped Paddy Butler's side on their way to victory.
Noah Minogue this time. Noah finds Stephen, power kill it, and Stephen clears the ball for James Stevens. Back down towards the Greig Ballycallan 20-metre line, and it's that man, Mr. Deadly, Ed McDermott. Ed McDermott with the high ball in towards Stephen Minogue. Stephen breaks it down on the hurl, takes a shot, and Stephen Minogue puts that ball in the back of the net. That's what you call full forward play. Ed McDermott to Stephen Minogue. He did well to control it, and the rest was a formality as he stuck it in the bottom corner of the net.
And here are the thoughts of team manager Paddy Butler.
We know how difficult it's going to be. Especially when Thompson are flying it this year with Intermediate and Gomel and the Leinsters, they're still in it, and we know they have a few players on the under-21 team. So yeah, it's going to be difficult, but we'll be up for the challenge anyway when Saturday comes.
When you're going to face the defending champions, it's always going to be difficult, but the fact it's on the Keld Road as well, it's got to be some sort of a help to get the James Stevens supporters out there on the day.
Oh, absolutely, every sport can help and drive us on, hopefully to get us over the line. As I was saying, Thompson will have a few good hurlers. So do we. So we have a plan in place. As I said, we'll be ready for them on Saturday. And hopefully it all works out.
They have a good crop, Thomastown, and I know a number of them feature in their Leinster Championship run at the moment as well. So they're getting games week on week. I'd imagine from your point of view, to try and counteract that, the training sessions have been full of action, I'm sure. And you've probably tried to squeeze in a couple of challenge games as well in the meantime.
Yeah, sort of. Look, as I say, since we played Ballycallan, we had 3 weeks to prepare, so we prepared the best we can, obviously, with the weather conditions and pitch state and all that. But no, we have a few good sessions. We had a challenge match last weekend, which went well, and yeah, so we're happy enough the way we've prepared, so we'll be ready for Saturday. So it's all on the day then. They'll all bring the work rate and the fight and the effort, as I say, when the pond of it is Jersey. It's just to tidy up a few other little things. Move the ball a bit quicker, you know, especially in winter hurling, move a fast ball, keep it out of rucks. As we know, we're a young enough team. As I say, we only have four lads up to the age of 21. And so, look, that's the way it is. So, look, we'll be ready for Saturday. As I said, we've prepared very well. So it's just whoever gets the lucky breaks on the day. And the lucky bounces, really.
Yeah. Time of the year is always going to be a factor. The ground is a little bit softer in places. Has that made you had to change how you play the game a little bit?
So, basically, we're trying to hone down to move the ball as quick as we can. As I say, try to stop the overplaying of the ball and just get it in as fast as we can up to our forwards. And as I say, Thomastown can't score when the ball is up with our forwards. Mm. That's the way we're planning out on it, that's all.
We talked about game time as well. The fact that a number of players are featuring for CBS and St. Kieran's, that's got to be very good as well. They're sharp, and they're not only training with you, but they're training with their schools. So it's wall-to-wall hurling.
Oh, absolutely, as I say. Yeah, St. Kieran's and CBS played there yesterday. So, yeah, I think we had a number of few. I wasn't at the game, unfortunately. Mm. We've worked and all that, but I had a few lads out there watching. So I got all the reports back. So they're all... One or two kind of tight areas, but look, should be no worries. They'll be all eligible to play on Saturday. So, but it's great to have them hurling. So, as I say, I'm not worried about them lads. It's the lads that are not hurling, but they're colleges or schools. They're the lads that we then have to kind of hone down on a bit more.
And finally then, Paddy, look, you obviously want to go into the big games with your full cohort. Have you got your full selection? And I mean, for those that will be featuring on Saturday, there's no bigger prize than Dixburg in a final. So if that's not inspiration, I don't know what is.
Yeah, no, we have a full bit of health at the moment, as I say. Just one or two lads has got a bit of a kind of sore knock, that's all. Mm. Kind of from the Cairns and CVS game, they're doing anything, but I think we'll be all good. So we'll be ready to go, ready to rock and roll, as I say. And just as I say, hopefully get a bit of luck on the day and get it over the line against Thompson. A very good team.
Now, every club dreams of provincial and All-Ireland success, and for teams across the four provinces, the next few weeks will be crucial in hurling and football. For our own club and James Stephens, though, Leinster final success is one that we savour, and one of the most dramatic, perhaps, was in 2005 when we faced the mighty Students, UCD. Here's the closing stages with commentator Barry Enriquez.
Larkin standing over this one, off centre, difficult enough, any free is difficult. Hits this one, high, and he puts it over the bar. Larkin, me life on you, put that one straight between the posts. There's only two between the sides, there's 20 minutes of play gone, there's 10 left, and two between the sides. What better kind of finale could you want, or could you expect in a Leinster club final here in O'More Park? James Stephens, the champions, with 11 points on the scoreboard, chasing, running down their title, won by Brian McAvoy. He gives it out the far side, brilliantly won over there by Paddy O'Brien. Here comes James Stephens, a goal! A goal! A stricken goal! What a goal for James Stephens, scored by Shane Egan. Brilliant goal, brilliantly driven in by Paddy O'Brien, double land by Richie Hayes, set up Shane Egan, and Egan did the business. It's 111 to 110 for James Stephens. By Jesus, they say champions are hard bet. Well, the villager has been hard bet. It's into Tots. Tots hits it long out the far side. The Students come charging again. Here comes Brian Barry, half blocked as he gets the ball over the far side of the field, and it's Pat Morrissey bottled up by half of the village team. It's a free down for the Students. Now we have a game and a half, Tracy, as it's all level, 111 apiece. This is a one whale of a game, as Franny Cantwell comes out with the ball to pocket as far as he could, up the gopher. Brian Barry playing the sweeper again very well for the Students, but Paul Larkin has the ball. He's on his own run, he's gone in the middle, he's on the 20 metre line, he flicks it over the bar, and the villager in front again. What a brave bit of hurling by Owen Larkin. Gets congratulations. Congratulations from Shane Egan as he come out after flicking that one over the bar. That's a brave score, Pat.
Yeah, great score there altogether, and a typical Owen Larkin effort.
James Stephens, 1-12. UCD, 1-12. Seconds ago, Pat Tracy said to me, what chances a draw? What price a draw? And I think that could be right now. The ball is poked up the far side of the field. Brian Barry has it. Having a brilliant game as a sweeper for the Students. Far side of the field. This is, the Students get the ball away over the far side. Colin Everard has it. Philly Larkin is there, gets the ball, stops it going any further. He gives it out to Tat. Tats is having a shot. This is a speculative lob. This is a great shot. That's a goal! Oh, it's a goal now! Oh, Jesus, it's a goal now! What a goal! Finish to the back of the net. Goal scored by Matthew Roach. Young Matty Roach. Barry put that one into the back of the net. What a mistake by Brian Campy. To the great ball by McAvoy. Give McAvoy credit. He was going for it. He had the courage. Out comes the goalkeeper. He's after missing this run as well. And it goes out over the end line for a 65. What a finish for the champions. They're home. Done and dusted. Mark it down. They lead by 2-12. To UCD's 1-12. Davey McCormack. And the match is over. James Stephens, to their dying credit, to their great honour, for the honour they brought to themselves, their club, their families and their county. They are the champions. They've won again. The score, 2-13 points to UCD's 1-12. Pat Tracy, what a game, what a finish. It doesn't come any better than that.
No, a victory like that doesn't come any better. There's no doubt about it.
And as you might expect, Joe Hennessy and Owen Larkin were ecstatic after the match.
Most teams would have buckled under the pressure there today, but this Village team, the confidence they got from last year, stand to them this year, and we wanted to prove that last year's victory was no fluke, and the lads really turned it on today. I'd say it was their best ever performance.
You'll enjoy this one.
We certainly will, and we'll roll on Patrick's Day again, Bart.
I don't think we played to our potential in the first half. We were disappointed going in at half time, 6 points down. In fairness, UCD did less hurt in the first half. And we decided the first half time, and we were going to come out in the second half and give it everything. And if that worked, well and good, and if it didn't, UCD would want to be champions.
Hartcliffe, they wouldn't have got the goal when Matthew Rule went in on that breaking ball.
Yeah, it was an important time to get a goal, you know. And,
just like his own lad,
yeah. Well, I wouldn't remember that, Barry. You probably remember that. I seen the net rattling, I didn't even see the ball, and that was good enough for me, and the green flag went up.
Now, the village's history and tradition in Féile na Gael hurling is well known and respected across the country. The village notorious winners have 7 Féile titles to their name, and one of their most successful periods came during a 4-in-a-row streak in the 1990s. But one of the many great James Stephens Féile teams came in 2008, a conversation had on a recent edition of the Village podcast, where Ty Donoghue spoke to manager of the team, Eamon Tyrrell.
Look at it, it was a fabulous tournament. Like, we were very lucky, to be honest with you. We went up to Ross Grey and we were hosting Ross Grey. You know, you were talking about it there to the lads. Lads were talking about it. But the young fellas staying with families is a fabulous part of Féile, lads, and the friends that they make and the whole lot. And that was a great part of it, the friends that they made. But no, we went up and we stayed in Ross Grey, and we played Ross Grey on the Friday night. And we didn't start particularly well, but we ended up winning it fairly comfortably. But the following day, we went to Bor. We played Bor and we played Kilmacud Cubs.
Kilmacud, lesh and rain.
And just as a rain that fell that day, oh my God, it was incredible now. It was incredible rain. Fergal Welch, I remember, we had to dispatch Fergal, who was secretary here at the time, with the jerseys to try and get them dry cleaned for the next game, the whole lot. We had 2 sets and both of them were drowned. And Fergal went off looking for the whole lot. But Kilmacud were very fancy that time. And we played them in the third game. I think it ended something like 7-2. But the weather was incredible. Donnacarney actually had a fabulous game that day in goal and pulled off a number of saves. Donnacarney was very good. But my abiding memory of that semi, or it wasn't a semi-final, it was the last game in the round, was Dermot Cody was asked to mark Oisín O'Rourke, who was the star man for Kilmacud Crokes, and he was their main go-to guy. I don't think he got a touch of the ball. God love him that day.
I bet you didn't.
Dermot absolutely ate him. He absolutely ate him that day.
But that particular team, Eamon, if I can remember, there's a great camaraderie about that particular group of players, but also selectors as well too. And yeah, it really bound the whole thing together.
And you know, you're talking about Paul about different schools and the way it goes. But an awful lot of those lads went to school together down in St. Patrick's. Mm. And there was a great camaraderie. Yeah. Fabulous. They never knew when they were beaten. And, you know, they all worked for each other. Yeah. They weren't the most skillful team that we ever had, but just were the hardiest.
They were
hard to beat, lads, and they never knew when they were beaten. Yeah. They were fabulous that time. Like, we went down to the final, we played in a Piercy, who were far taller, bigger, stronger, better than us. There's no doubting. But our lads just didn't know when to give up. It was fabulous now. And Jim McCauley, lads, let's talk about the goal that Mikey scored. Yeah. I think Mikey scored 1-6 or 1-7 that day. It was fabulous now. Yeah. Absolutely outstanding. Jim got the other point. But we were after floating in a ball. We got a 65. And Mikey got it. And he tried for goal. It didn't come off. Ball broke out to the side. If that ball had gone out over the sideline, game was over.
Done.
Dear McCauley made a run to get out there. Mm-hmm. And the young fella from the pier shake, instead of putting it over the line, he turned back in to try and strike the ball. And Dear blocked him down and got the ball. And went in along then and got the free. That Mikey put over.
It was that work that
won that game for us. And that's my abiding memory, was the work rate of Dermot Cody to get that ball, to bring it back in.
Well, Eamon, do you remember all the players that were back when Mikey was taken to free?
I think the parish of the Peership was in goal that day. For how he treaded the truth, that was incredible. There was actually 11 players standing on the line that day.
Buried it, yeah.
And he buried it. He absolutely buried it. The ball was still going.
Yeah.
at a trajectory when it hit the back of the net, yeah, yeah. It was absolutely an incredible goal.
What a way to win an All-Ireland.
There was a young lad, and the game was over.
Yeah, but there was a young lad on that team. He was in by Stephen Reenan. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was in school and he kind of never made the school teams around. He was always tipping around, and because he was on that team, and he won the All Ireland, the failure. And I remember going out in the field afterwards, and I think he was crying out in the field. Yeah. He said, "I never thought I'd win an All Ireland." He said, yes. "Made his day." But I don't think he heard much. I don't know where he is now.
We were talking about the upcoming podcast, and that you were saying that the selectors, but Mark Turl got the boys together, I think, the day before. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, Mark wasn't a selector that year, but Mark was running around those guys all the time, and Mark was fabulous. Mark, he really was now. But remember. That morning we set off for Port Leash for Moore Park, and we stopped in. I think Value had organised the field for us to stop in.
Correct, yes.
And we got didn't Mark anyway. Said to Mark getting off the bus. I said, "No, Mark, a few words for the boys." I said, "And that'll be it." So Mark, the lads still talk about it. The speech that Mark Turrell gave and roused them up and the whole lot. We got back on the bus. We went into Moore Park, and there was another word spoken. We got out in the field and done the warm up and the whole lot. But Mark was a great part, even though he wasn't the selector, he was a great part of that team and that win, now, to be honest with you. He really was now. Of course, Kieran Brennan was there as well. Kieran was fabulous. Kieran was kind of the lad that you kind of, he calmed everything down, and
right.
He had the experience behind him and all that, like, and he was able to kind of keep us all relaxed because, look, it was new to us. But yeah. Kieran hadn't been there, it was great to have him there as well.
And who else were the selectors on that team along with you?
Dinny Kearney and Niall Connolly. Niall would have done all the training that time. Niall was a very calm, relaxed kind of a character as well, and Bobby Kearney then would have been the other selector.
Yeah.
But it was great because it worked, because it all kind of came together and it just worked.
But just talking about the group of selectors together as well too, and you know, the success of the teams, you know, when you had a good camaraderie between the selectors, and he had that with that particular team, and Tom and Matt and Val, and he had that with that particular team as well too. But you had great times away from hurling as well too though.
Oh, yeah.
In those side of things too. And Val, tell us a little bit more about that. The night times when the fellas went off out to their houses, you guys, rightly so, went off and enjoyed yourselves and had a crack.
Yeah. I go back to Limerick, and Remy Dowland was, I don't know, was Tom staying in Remy's house?
I was supposed to. I don't think I ever saw it over the weekend. He was the community guard.
Yeah. And we were in this club, anyway, a mongrel club, and Remy used to be in the guard in his uniform. So we were there at all hours in the morning. And the second year in Limerick, the gear was left behind in the dressing room. And Jerry Gall, Lord Limerton, had
all... rushing to get other places, Val, and others. That's what you're saying to us. So we left the gear behind. Yeah.
We left the gear. It was locked up in the fucking club rooms. And Jerry Gall was already gone down on the bus with the players. So Tom and myself had to try and contact some of the boys from what club were we with?
Mona Lee.
To get into the club. So we arrived in Kilmallock, and the RTM boys band were parading around. Mm-hmm. And I used to have to do the write out the team sheets, and you'd have to write it out twice. That right, Paul? Do you remember that? Twice you'd have to write it out, not once, so you couldn't copy it. And it was not well.
Well, I think we got lost. I think Jerry Gall was driving the bus, and
we were on the bus.
I don't think it was in Kilmallock, though. I think was it
Adair.
And Jerry took a wrong turn, and when we arrived late for the match, and the RTM band were out in the field playing some tune or another to entertain the crowd, and we were a bit upset late with our preparation and the whole thing, we were upset by the delays and going wrong, and everyone just barely arrived in time to do a warm up.
We were actually very lucky that year to win the local failure, the Paddy Grace, if you recall. We were playing O'Loughlin's up in Dixborough.
That's right, yeah.
In the final.
I remember.
And Ben Hayes, I think, was the referee. Remember, he blew it up about seven or eight minutes to go.
And I had gone into the O'Loughlin's dressing room. I'd gone into the O'Loughlin's to congratulate him on the win. And then we were called back out again.
And we were to play an
extra 7 or 8 minutes. And we won it in the 7 or 8 minutes. So we went out.
They actually, O'Loughlin's actually beat us in the county final that year. They had a very strong team.
Yeah.
We were lucky to go to Fela that year.
Just talk about that. I'll go back to Eamon again. when you won that, and the celebrations were high after winning the. I think you were pulling aside, actually, were you?
I was, and in fairness, and I didn't say it, but Brian Cody was fabulous to us that weekend. Brian was there all the time, but I remember going back into the dressing room after a game, and Brian pulled me aside and he says to me, "Do yourself a favour now," he says. "Get them lads and sit and tell them. There's a county final to be won. There's no point in having a fail if you haven't got a county final." And that was what was said in the dressing room.
Marking your character.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But Brian was very good to us that weekend. I have to say, now, and he was there all the way with us, Now we couldn't be any better.
Before we go, we want to wish all the very best to those taking part in a special night in the Larchfield Club Room on Saturday, as the legendary club football team of the 1980s and 90s, the under-21 champions of 2000 and 2002, along with the Camogie Junior Champions of 2002 and the Junior Hurlers of 2000 will be honoured at a special function in the club. If you're at a loose end on Saturday night, do head along for what's sure to be a fantastic evening. And until next time on the James Stevens podcast, look after yourselves and each other. And until we speak again, bye-bye, take care.